The U.S. men's national team have just finished up their World Cup qualifier against El Salvador, the first of what's going to be this very icy, very cold World Cup qualifying window. And with a 1-0 victory, the U.S. inched that much closer to clinching that berth into the World Cup. And overall, it was a comprehensive victory by the United States. We dominated possession. We stifled El Salvador just about at every turn. El Salvador really didn't create much at all. On the flip side, the U.S. was able to create a whole bunch. But at the same time, I can't help but feel a little bit dissatisfied because it seems like, number one, going into halftime with a tie, just always trying to have to figure out how we're going to come from the second half and start scoring goals. And then the big thing that I'm still a bit frustrated about is this whole issue with Christian Pulisic, man. I'm ready to see the Christian Pulisic that just dominated that last World Cup cycle, the Christian Pulisic who is one of the most fearsome attackers in CONCACAF. And as of yet, it just hasn't worked out, man. We're seeing some really exciting moments from a lot of the other players. Tim Weah's playing really well. Sergiño Dest playing really well. Weston McKennie's playing really well. Anthony Robinson had a great game, but I still want to see it from Christian. Now, that being said, let's jump into the timeline because we got a lot here. Guys, thank you for joining us. This is a live version of the Yank Report. My name is Sam, and this is the Yank Report. If you're new around here, hit that subscribe button. If you're in the live chat right now, let me know what you're thinking about this game, and go ahead and click that like button for me. Whew, let's start out with the lineup because we got some interesting things right off top with the lineup. Turner starts out in goal. Of course, Zach Steffen is struggling with those tightness in his back, so he wasn't available. Turner, of course, Taylor Twellman tweeted out right before the game that it looks like that move to Arsenal is going to become official. So got to be a really emotional game for Matt Turner. He's going to be starting for the national team, but also just is probably about to triple his yearly income and move to another country. So big moments for Matt Turner right now. Really exciting time for him. Sergiño Dest, Chris Richards, Walker Zimmerman, and Anthony Robinson. That means Miles Robinson wasn't in the mix, which was a bit of a surprise, but still. We get the MMA midfield with Adams, McKennie, and Musa. And then up top, we get Weah, Ferreira, and Pulisic. And Ferreira was by far the biggest surprise of the group. I really thought that Ferreira was going to be number three in the depth chart in the striker position, and we weren't going to see him at all. As it turns out later, we didn't see Pepe at all. And that's really confusing. You know, Greg Berhalter came out before the game and made some comments about Pepe, or really more about Ferreira, saying that we wanted a player to be able to drop into the hole and be able to be able to draw out defenders and link passing together. Whether or not we saw that from Ferreira at all is one thing, but I think the bigger question is, you know, we didn't even see Pepe in the second half. What's going on there? I think we know from Greg Berhalter through this whole John Brooks discussion that he's a bit, and to steal a phrase from the Scuff podcast, he's a bit of an unreliable narrator. He's not going to openly tell us what's going on behind the scenes. I'm a bit concerned that we didn't see Ricardo Pepi at all. I hope that it's just a move to save him and that we're going to see him later on in this Canada match, but we'll kind of see what happens there. I'm a bit concerned there, but let's jump into it. Before we do, let's see what the comment section's saying right now. Christian Pulisic not dominating and another step up is only a good thing from Daniel Hoon. Daniel, shout out Daniel. Yeah, man, I mean, it's a good thing that other players are stepping up in the wake of Christian Pulisic just not being that dominant player, but at the same time, we haven't seen it from Christian in a while, and we haven't seen it from him at all in this cycle, and maybe part of it is that he's been out injured and has been missing games and hasn't had a chance to gel. You know, it came out that this was the first time he's played with McKennie and Tyler Adams in a really long time. I believe it's the first time he's played with the MMA midfield, at least in World Cup qualifying.
And now a word from today's sponsor. Bet Online would like to wish you a happy betting new year as we continue our march towards the playoffs and beyond. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all betting action in 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, and of course soccer, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available in 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Jake says, but they were missing a lot of players. That wasn't a good team on the field, to be honest. And you know, that's true, man. El Salvador played really well. They were very disciplined. Hugo Perez, all credit to him. Great to see him be able to put out a competent side and a side that really made the U.S. work for it. But eventually the talent overcame. Let's jump into the game. And I think, let's see. I made a note of this in the first 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes, it was pretty evident to me that Pulisic and Ferreira were dropping into the hole and they were making each other redundant. And I don't know if you guys saw at halftime, a lot of people were posting the live formation or like where the players were actually playing during the game. And you could see that Pulisic and Ferreira were very close together. And they were largely occupying the same space. And it became a huge issue for us because more often than not, we were doing really well in this slow, deliberate buildup through guys like, Zimmerman and Richards and Musa and Adams and McKinney were combining really well. And eventually they find that outlet out to Dest. And Dest would work really well with Weah and create something up the right flank. But what would happen is Ferreira and Pulisic were dropped so far deep that whenever Weah or Des were eventually looking to make that cross into the box, there was nobody there because Pulisic and Ferreira were chasing the play. They had both dropped too deep, and neither of them were really combining on the buildup and doing much there either. They were very redundant, and they were very unnecessary, and it was just a very odd thing and very frustrating throughout the first half to watch. At the 5 minute 45 second mark, off a throw in, El Salvador rolls a ball across the box. Des beats the attacker to the ball and clears the danger. I wrote this down because I've been critical of Sergiño Des in the past, and early on in this game, you saw that he was up for it. He was feeling it. He was feeling himself. He looked so happy and so happy to be there. That's only positives. A positive Sergiño Des is such a quality player. I think we saw his qualities throughout the game, but he did bring it on the defensive side of the ball there. I know myself and a lot of other folks have questioned Xavi, of course, have questioned Sergiño Des' ability on the defensive side of the ball, and I think he can be a very competent defender whenever he's up for it, and he was certainly up for it tonight, man. A fantastic effort from Sergiño Des. At 8 minutes, Weston McKennie and Adams work the ball up well to find Des open on the right flank. Des plays a long through ball into the channel for Weah to chase. Weah's cross is cut out by a sliding El Salvador defender. We saw that move a lot, didn't we? We saw some quick passing from the midfield, finding Dest out on that flank, and Dest would work really well with Weah to attack that channel. It was really the only thing working just really well for the U.S. in the first half, but it was working very well. It was working so well, it should have been exploited into a goal, but it just never came for us. At the 9:24-minute mark, Walker Zimmerman finds a nice chipped ball into the channel for Tim Weah running in behind the El Salvador left back. The play ends up going out for a corner for the USA. A really nice moment for Walker Zimmerman. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember that. Walker Zimmerman found that pass and put it right into that channel for Weah. Once again, we're seeing everything up the right flank for the US. We just got nothing up that left flank on Pulisic's side. Really disappointing. You know, we know how dynamic attacker Pulisic can be, but it was off. It was not working. The rhythm was off and we couldn't find it. At the 11-minute mark, El Salvador beats the U.S. press with a long ball into the El Salvador left flank. Attacker runs at Des. The ball is played in behind. Tyler Adams tracks the runner and wins the ball. Tyler Adams was on tonight on the defensive side of the ball. Didn't make too much of an impact on the attacking side, but I think on the defensive side, we saw sort of that vintage Tyler Adams that stops things before they start. And again, that leadership that he brings to the table, we saw towards the end of the game, whenever there's a bit of a scuffle, Tyler Adams coming between Weston McKennie and a few other players, not letting it get too hyped there. So quintessential Tyler Adams for me in this game. In the 12th-minute mark, Ferreira wins a long ball on the box, immediately plays across the top of the box to find Pulisic. Pulisic takes a shot that's deflected wide by El Salvador defenders. El Salvador did a really good job in the box of getting players behind the ball, especially in that first half. The U.S. were finding very few open looks, oftentimes having to shoot at a wall of El Salvadorian defenders. But that was a nice moment from Ferreira, who, you know, I'm going to dog on him a little bit in this video, but I think he did find his moments here and there, and I think think whenever I think Pulisic being in his space did kind of just gum up the works for him. And when we saw Aaronson come in, it kind of changed the dynamic a little bit and things kind of flowed a little bit better. But then again, at that point, he was kind of immediately taken off and the U.S. attack sputtered out. But anyway, so the U.S. is looking to be patient in the buildup. They're finding holes, but lacking quality in the final third. In the 50th minute, Weston McKennie finds a nice switch across the box to Anthony Robinson. Anthony's immediate header is returned to his feet. Robinson plays to Ferreira in the box. Ferreira beats the first defender, potentially could have gone down for a penalty, but instead he takes a shot that's well over the bar. Really nice moment from Weston McKennie, first of all, finding that long switch, that long overlap on Robinson. Finally, we get something going down on the left flank. Robinson was absolutely on tonight on both sides of the ball, the defense well as the attack. In this moment, he finds Ferreira. Ferreira actually does really well with some quick feet to beat the El Salvadorian defender. He has a clear shot at the El Salvadorian keeper, but the finish is just not where it needs to be. Just nowhere close to scoring on that particular one. Yeah, let's see. Connor McCabe here says Ferreira had clear chances, he just couldn't finish. And I think that that was the story on Ferreira there. Some nice moments here and there, but man, especially for a team like the U.S., where you're going to be creating chances, there's going to be balls sliding across the box. Somebody like Tim Weah is going to be pouring it in. Robinson is going to be pouring it in. Dest is going to be pouring it in. We need somebody who can finish those chances, and it just still hasn't emerged from the U.S., and for whatever reason, Ricardo Pepi wasn't played tonight. We don't know the answer for that. Just questionable right there. In the 18th minute, a wonderful outlet pass from Musa finds Dest with the entire right flank exposed. Dest charges down the right flank and crosses to Weah. Weah flicks a header to the on-running Ferreira on the back post, but Ferreira absolutely boggles the finish. This was the moment. This was the payoff. This is where, boy, we saw Dest find so much joy up that right flank in the first half. So many times we had really nice buildup, found Dest out on that right flank, and him and Weah made something happen in this moment. Dest takes it down the field, plays that really nice chip into Weah, and Weah heads it right to that back post, and Ferreira was there. Ferreira was where it was supposed to be, but he just couldn't put it in. My goodness. If Ferreira is able to put that away, it just changes the complexion of the game. I think everybody loosens up, and I think we have a much better, number one, we have a better feeling going into halftime, and I think the flow of the game might have picked up a little bit at that point, but Ferreira missing that chance, it did a lot of things. I think, number one, it was disappointing, but number two, it just, you know, if you have this monkey on your back where it's like, we don't have a striker that can finish, where's that finish going to come from? And then you get another opportunity that goes wanting. It's just one more thing that kind of builds on the squad. Luckily, they held it together and didn't let that kind of bring them down too much, and we're able to continue to find chances. In the 23rd minute, El Salvador actually finds a chance. They have a free kick that's played to Matt Turner's right side. He has to dive down to get it, but it's pretty easily dealt with by Turner. Turner, once again, didn't have too much to do on the night. In the 24th minute, Weah and Dest once again work a nice combination down the right channel. Weah's low cross to the near post is dealt with by an El Salvador defender. You know, that's that. That's what Tim Weah does. He's putting that cross into the near post. And if you're making a run the way Christian Pulisic did against Mexico, you can score that goal. That goal is there for you. We've seen it with Lille, where he's putting that in to Jonathan Davies, and Jonathan Davies is earning a lot of future money by putting those shots away. But the U.S., for whatever reason, Ferreira's not making that run, and Pulisic was not making that run either. Neither of them were in position because they were dropping too far back. They weren't able to meet that near post ball by Tim Weah. If somebody's standing at that near post when Tim Weah is making that darting run down the right flank, you can start converting these chances, man. These chances are there. It's not happening, and it's frustrating that it's not happening. In the 26th minute, Chris Richards runs directly into a Salvadorian defender, creating an immediate counter. It quickly fizzles out. I marked this down just because, Chris Richards is one of those players that, you know, we're all really excited about Chris Richards. He can be a huge player for this national team in the future. However, I'm still waiting to see a really dominant performance from Chris Richards, especially on the ball in a World Cup qualifier. There were a few shaky moments here, and this was definitely one. He made a really ill-advised run directly into the El Salvadorian midfield. The ball was taken from him really easy, and El Salvador had a counterattack with numbers. Now, they weren't able to make anything of it, but boy, that was a really scary moment there in that first half. In the 27th minute, a Salvadorian attacker beats Dest and Adams on the midway line of the left flank, or the Salvadorian right flank. Anyway, a quick switch to Alex Roldan on the Salvadorian right flank leads to a chance for El Salvador. Roldan's shot goes wide. Probably the best opportunity that El Salvador had in the match. Really tore the U.S. Open. It wasn't a super high percentage chance, but these are the chances that, boy, we saw it in the game against Jamaica. I mean, these are the chances that crazy things happen in CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. These are the things that you just can't give up. Luckily, the shot goes wide for Christian Roldan there, but a little concerning. Little concerning moment. Luckily, those were few and far between. On the 29th minute, Dest finds acres of space once again on the right flank. His cross is knocked out for a corner. One of the knocks on Dest is his crossing ability. It's just not quite... It's not Juan Cuadrado level, let's be honest. Oftentimes his crosses don't beat the first defender, especially whenever he's crossing like deep into the box or crossing into the mixer. To be fair, his cross into Tim Weah that led to that Ferreira chance was really nice. But more often than not, I'm left a little bit disappointed by Serginho Dest's crosses, and this was another disappointing one here. In the 36th minute, Anthony Robinson to a Pulisic wall pass brings McKinney down the left flank. Eventually, Dest finds a chance outside of the box with shades of that Costa Rica goal, but this time his hit is deflected away. One of the first times we see Christian Pulisic do something really positive, he's able to combine well with Anthony Robinson on the left flank, and it springs an attack for the U.S. Serginho Dest with an opportunity to shoot once again, but once again, El Salvador does really well in that first half to get bodies behind the ball, especially in the box, to really gum up the works. Whew, let's pause for a second for some comments here. Jake says, yeah, the set piece business is worrying me on offense and defense. Man, I think the set pieces throughout this game, that's one of the things that coming in that we really... We haven't been taking advantage of set pieces. It's something that in the past, the U.S. has really done really well and found a lot of goals in set pieces. But for whatever reason, in this World Cup qualifying window, it hasn't happened. Despite the fact that we've had the opportunities in this game, I'm going to talk about it in the future. Weston McKennie has a wide open look on a set piece. Can't put it away. Walker Zimmerman has an open look on a set piece. Can't put it away. And these are the two guys that if you want to draw it up and find somebody in the box on a set piece, those are the two guys you want. And it just didn't happen. I mean, that's... Part of that is soccer and variance, and the other part of that is just frustration from the U.S. where it just doesn't seem like we can ever really just pour it on and get a comprehensive victory, because we really need it in this one so that we can get some guys out and get some fresh legs on. We kind of did that in the end, but still feeling a little bit frustrated. Later on in the first half, Robinson, El Salvador, it seems, around the 38th minute, I noticed El Salvador is not pressing quite as high. They're dropping their line of confrontation. McKinney and Musa are now getting wider, and Pulisic and Ferreira are still dropping in. In the 41st minute, Pulisic makes probably his best run of the game. He makes a penetrating direct run, direct at the Salvadorian back line. Pulisic finds Robinson on the left flank, whose cross wide finds Weah in the box, but Weah can't get a shot through the El Salvadorian defenders. Once again, an American with a ball in the box, but a line of El Salvadorian defenders in front of him. can't find the back of the net there. Once again, just another moment where we're doing well in the buildup. We're doing well to run directly at the defense. We're getting the ball into the box. We're finding attackers, but that last bit of quality just is not going well. Later on, in the 44th minute, a quick Dest 1-2 absolutely steals the soul of a Salvadorian defender. Nothing comes of it. Always marked down whenever Dest just absolutely destroys somebody in a one-on-one battle. It happened right here. Nothing came of it, but gosh, it seems like whenever Dest is really feeling himself, he's trying things out there on the field, and this was a moment where that happened, and what a nice little 1-2, and what it just, you know, it makes you jump out of your seat and makes you fired up. That's pretty much how we see it whenever we go into the first half. Manalo 110 says, good players, but still missing something. Yeah, we're still missing something. I think that something is... That something is Christian Pulisic, man. That's what that something is. That something's Christian Pulisic, and I think it's also a striker that can score goals. For whatever reason, Ricardo Pepi wasn't used in this game. I'm anxious to hear if there's any rumblings of something going on with Ricardo Pepi. It's a bit mysterious that he wasn't played at all. Disappointing there. That was the first half, man. Just a little bit comprehensive. We dominated, but it's still a bit frustrating. Jake says we're missing Gio Reyna as the playmaker. That's part of that. And yeah, man, I mean, honestly, if I put it to you right now, who would you take off for Gio Reyna? Because for me, it might be Christian Pulisic, man. I wonder if it would be Weah and Pulisic up top for me with that MMA midfield. Because Pulisic, whatever reason, is just not firing on all cylinders right now. Chris Gary says, I've seen better. GGG with a good 11, bad tactics. Yeah, the tactics were a bit frustrating, man. And I don't know if that's Greg or if that's just the players on the field. Like, we know what Ferreira is going to do. We know Ferreira is going to drop in, but... But Pulisic dropping in, that's something I don't know if that's Greg telling him to drop in or if that's Pulisic just doing Pulisic, because everybody else that was brought on as a wide player, Weah got wide and got up the field, Aronson got wide and up the field, and that sparked attacks immediately, and Jordan Morris got wide and got up the field. Christian Pulisic was the only player that dropped in and played in that space. I don't know if that's Pulisic or if that's Greg. Whatever it is, that's got to be fixed, man, and it's really frustrating. So, at halftime, I wrote down, McKinney is a man possessed. The MMA midfield is as advertised. Destin Weah working really well on that right flank. Pulisic struggling to find rhythm, and Ferreira right not in the right spaces for Weah's crosses. And, you know, I'm coming down hard on Pulisic right now, but let's give credit to the player who is kind of putting the team on his back right now, and that is Weston McKennie. We know what kind of form he's been in for Juventus, and he has carried that right on through to the U.S. men's national team. A wonderful performance from McKennie just everywhere throughout the game. He was in the deep in the defensive third for the buildup. He made some big tackles. He also, you know, sprung some attacks. He got on the end of some balls in the box. Just did absolutely everything. Made some really nice switches. Just the long balls, the effort, the energy, just being a factor in the box. Just everything you want from Weston McKennie. What a tremendous game from that guy. Let's see. Moving on to the second half. Early on the second half, I saw McKennie and Musa swap sides, and that kind of immediately started moving things up the left flank with Pulisic there. I was asking Joe Lowry during my interview with Joe, where we were talking a lot about tactics, about how Greg was going to look to get McKennie into the box, because in that game against Mexico, we saw Brendan Aaronson often kind of vacate that left flank and kind of just... or vacate his position in the box and kind of move wide to allow McKennie to get into the box. And in this game, it looked like the way that they were attempting to do it was to just not play McKennie on Pulisic's side. McKennie was going to be on the right side, and Musa was going to be on the left, which would allow Pulisic to get into the box and allow McKennie to kind of penetrate on the right flank. So we didn't see McKennie and Pulisic playing too much together on the left flank, but in this moment, they actually do switch sides, and it kind of springs some stuff. In the 48th minute, we get our first real opportunity. Robinson gets to the end line and sends a cross into the mixer. Ferreira finds it, but his header is wide. Ferreira heading the ball, not really what we're looking for there. Ferreira not a dominant header, but that's whenever Anthony Robinson really started to take over. We start to see the left flank really open up and create a lot. Anthony Robinson might have been the player of the second half. Wonderful from Anthony. In the 51st, a McKennie ball over the top finds Weah in the box. Weah squeaks by his defender and rips a powerful shot at the keeper. The rebound finds Ferreira, who heads it back across the face of goal. The ball slowly trickles across the goal mouth before Anthony Robinson powerfully puts it past the Salvadorian keeper. I put way too many P's in that. I gotta slow down the P's, creating some tongue twisters for myself unnecessarily. But anyway, there's the goal sequence for... for the U.S., and of course, it starts with McKennie. I don't know if McKennie's going to get a whole lot of credit in the replay there, depending on where they put the replay, but McKennie plays that ball over the top to Weah, and it's what we were seeing throughout the first half. Weah just dominating that right flank, McKennie just being kind of the straw that stirs the drink and makes things happen, gets it over the top. Weah puts it across. Weah's been fantastic, hasn't he? Weah's been just... the best attacker that we've seen in World Cup qualifying over the last few games, beats his man here, kind of squeaks by. He's got unbelievable agility. He just looks like a ballerina out there. He's so balanced and agile. Gets by the defender, plays it across, plays in a powerful shot. Eventually, we find Anthony Robinson, and he gets paid off for all those wonderful gut-busting runs he's been making all, over the left flank, all those crosses he's been putting in, all the work he's been doing. He deserved a goal in this game, and he got it. So I was really excited to see that, Anthony Robinson getting a goal right there. Kind of checking out the comment section, see what you guys are up to. Way it was wide open, one play, and Pulisic decides to dribble to two guys. Yeah, there were some moments there in the second half where Pulisic did find some joy running out of defense, and some of his decision-making was a little bit questionable. It always looks like he's trying to do like one thing more than he needs to be doing. He needs to be playing quicker and simpler, and it's frustrating that it's not. So I agree with you there. Anonymity anymore. Guys, I have a hard enough time pronouncing regular names, much less anonymity anymore. Let's see what Juan Carlos has to say. In my opinion, Weah, Weston, and Robinson. You can include Zimmerman if you want, but the rest were mid. Weah, Weston, Robinson. I thought Dest had a really good game as well, man. I thought Dest combined really well with Weah. So that I would include him, but I think you're fairly spot on. I do think that Adams had a good game defensively. I think he did everything that was asked from him there. But yeah, let's see what Med the Rockstar has to say. These guys are supposed to be Champions League player, and they play against a semi-pro team and got lucky to walk away with a 1-0 win. I don't know that they got lucky. I think that they created the majority of the chances. One of those was going to go in eventually. They were knocking on the door all game. And also, around the 60th minute, Greg started pulling some of the guys and some of the intensity left. And you could see that they were playing for the result at that point. They kind of took their foot off the gas. So who knows if they really wanted to pour it on in that second half. Maybe they could have, but I think that they were thinking for the future at that point. I wouldn't quite say that we were lucky to walk away with a win. I think that the result kind of was what it was. I think it was a 1-0 victory, and I think the frustration is just not being able to finish because a lot of chances were created, man. Let's jump back into the timeline after the goal. A poor Salvadorian pass, finds Robinson wide open on the left flank. He charges up the left flank before finding Weah with a cross in the box. A cross is chested by Ferreira down to Musa, whose shot is saved. I think it eventually ended up being offsides, but that was another opportunity where, boy, you had Musa one-on-one with the keeper. I mean, he could have reached out his arm and touched him, and he put a touch to the side of the keeper, but it wasn't enough to put that one away. Another moment where the U.S. did really well. Anthony Robinson found that space. He found that joy. He ran right up that flank. This was a moment where he might have been able to play in Pulisic, but he opted for a much tougher pass to Weah. And at first, it was not a great pass to Weah, and Weah kind of did well to recollect and save that opportunity. But eventually, a chance is won. Credit to Ferreira there for chesting it down to Musa for the opportunity. But once again, definitely didn't happen. The finish was lacking. In the 56th minute, Pulisic finds a corner to a wide-open Weston McKennie, 7 yards out, and Weston McKennie's header goes over the bar. My goodness, if there's anybody in this U.S. men's national team that's coming in goal-scoring form, it's Weston McKennie, and if there's anywhere you want him, it's on the 6-yard box with a ball coming in for him to head, and he had it right there, man. He had it on a plate, and I think if Weston McKennie gets 5 of these chances, he's probably putting away 3 of them. But this ends up being one of the ones that he just doesn't put away. Frustrating moment, man. You got to wonder if Weston McKennie puts that one away, or are we coming away from this with a different feeling? Are we a little bit less frustrated and more excited going into this Canada game? But once again, and this has kind of been the theme throughout World Cup qualifying, he doesn't put it away, and we're still just 1-0 up. Boy, that was one I'd like to have back, man. I think Weston's going to be dreaming about that chance for a while now. That was just on a tee for him to go up and get, and it didn't happen for him. In the 58th minute, Pulisic finds Dest on the right flank with runners in the box. Dest's cross was overhit. This was another disappointing run. Another moment where Christian actually finds some joy and some space. He's running at the box, and he does pick out Dest on that right flank. There was a lot of runners in the box, and I think Robinson was all the way on the left flank, and he was open, but Dest just puts it way over. You know, Dest is a great player. He's one of the top young right backs in the world, but his crossing is not. He's not Juan Cuadrado. I think that's the long and the short of it. In the 63rd minute, Pulisic comes off for Brendan Aaronson. I think a really frustrating outing for Christian Pulisic. I think he's still not finding joy for the U.S. men's national team. He's still just not quite sure where he needs to be on the field. And he's playing slow whenever he needs to be playing faster. He's off the pace. He's not getting in behind the way that Tim Weah is, and it's frustrating. We all want to see him do what we know that he can do, which is be one of the absolute scariest attackers in CONCACAF, and it's just not playing out for him right well. Whether or not it is a tactical thing that he's being asked to drop back and play slow, or if that's just on him just trying to do way too much. Personally, I think it's because he's got a little bit, he feels like he needs to do too much, but he doesn't, man. He doesn't. This team is good enough that he can just be himself out there. He does not need to be Superman. But a disappointing moment for Christian Pulisic. And yeah, let's see. Paul Nicholas points out, yeah, Christian Pulisic was the captain. I think that's cool. I think it's cool that a player as young as Christian Pulisic gets to be the captain in this game. There were a few older guys out there that Greg could have picked, like Matt Turner or Walker Zimmerman, but it ends up being Christian Pulisic. I think he is one of the emotional leaders in this locker room, and I think that he does take this very seriously and very personally. He ends up giving the armband to Tyler Adams as he comes off the field, looks a little bit frustrated. He was frustrated. I was frustrated. Greg was frustrated. I think everybody's frustrated right now. Let's pause for a few comments. Let's see. Harry, let's call him Harry. Weah was eligible to play internationally for four separate countries. Glad he picked the U.S. over the country his father presides over, but that was ridiculous to have choice after choice. Yeah, I'm excited that Weah picked us as well. Let's see, who could he have played for? He could have played for the U.S., France, Liberia. I don't know who the fourth one is. But anyway, Tim Weah has been one of the revelations of World Cup qualifying. Just an absolutely fantastic performance from Tim Weah. And really, we're going to get into it in a second, but Brendan Aaronson played really well too, man. Brendan Aaronson came in, and the U.S. just started rolling, man, especially down that left flank. That Aaronson and Robinson, for the brief time they were on the field together, really started kicking, man. Let's see. Med the Rockstar says, there were disappointing moments. Pulisic is inconsistent for club and disappears for country. Boy, I don't know if I can say Christian Pulisic disappears for country, man. In that last World Cup qualifying cycle, he absolutely put the team on his back, and he was the difference maker. We've seen a Christian Pulisic be absolutely Superman. It's just, right now in this moment, it's not happening for him. Every player has moments where they kind of go in and out. Christian is so good. He's so good that you got to ride it out for him. You got to ride it out with him. We got to keep giving him opportunities and just waiting for it to click. You know, a lot's been made of the fact that these players just haven't had a lot of time together at all. I mean, how many times has Christian Pulisic actually played with, like, Yunus Musa? How many times has he played with the MMA midfield? He's had rotating striker partners throughout. We need time where Christian Pulisic can get in there and settle down and get to know these players and understand where he needs to be, and once that happens, man, it's gonna be kicking. But hasn't quite happened yet. Let's see. Let's go over to Tobes Laroni. Just tuning in. What was the overall vibe from the game? Looking back, the stats were very dominant for us. Tobes, I think you nailed the stats part. It was a dominant performance from the U.S. We created the majority of the chances. We stifled El Salvador on defense. They really, I don't know that they had many clear looks at goal at all. However, we are quite frustrated because it seems like we're still not converting in the final third. The chances were there, it's just not working. And most importantly, our captain, our golden boy, the guy who's supposed to be the most feared attacker on our team, we're just not seeing it from him, man. It's frustrating. We got to see it. hopefully he turns back into Superman in the Canada game. So let's move ahead. Christian Pulisic has just come off in the 64th minute. Robinson and Aronson, like, immediately whenever Aronson comes on, the left flank just opens up and becomes productive. Robinson and Aronson combine well. Robinson beats a man in the box, hits a nice shot to the near post. Robinson 1-2'd a guy in the El Salvadorian box, and you know, he's a left back. You know, you're not going to expect much from him in front of goal, but he's confident. He already had that goal. He puts a hard struck shot to the near post. Doesn't go on. Doesn't work for him. In the 68th minute, Musa gets into a little trouble around midfield, but somehow pirouettes and gets by three guys. He plays the ball in behind towards Aronson, but it's under hit. I just wanted to point out that it feels like every game there's this moment where I'm worried about Yunus Musa because he's got like three guys on him and there doesn't seem like any way out, but he just finds a way out. The dude is impeccable in the middle third of the field, the way he's able to solve problems and get out. The criticism on him is going to be what he does with that ball in that final third, and we saw here that he had an underhit pass to Aronson, who was making a run in behind. Once again, Aronson making a run in behind, Aronson being high up the field, Aronson being at a position to ask questions of the El Salvadorian defense. This is not the space Pulisic was finding himself in. Pulisic was much further back, and you just saw immediately whenever Aronson came on, tactically things got better for the U.S. But enough on Aronson and Pulisic right there. In the 71st minute, Jordan Morris and Zardes come on. Weah and Ferreira come off. Disappointed to see Weah come off because he was just looking so good, but I guess you want to save those fresh legs because we got two more difficult World Cup qualifiers up ahead. Excited to see Jordan Morris come on. I know Jordan Morris offers a lot to the squad, if nothing else, because you know, we all know who was coming on as that next man up, if not for Jordan Morris, and that would be Paul Areola. I know how you all feel about Paul Areola, and I'm not too far off from you. I'm glad that we got Jordan Morris back as that option whenever we have injuries and guys aren't available in this window. Conrad De La Fuente was injured. Of course, Gio Reyna was injured. Having an informed Jordan Morris that could potentially come in and contribute if guys are out is going to be a tremendous asset to the squad. He didn't really do much in this game except for a really nice cross right at the end of the game. But excited to see Morris back on the field in a U.S. Men's National Team jersey. After Morris and Weah come on, man, in the 71st minute, there's about 15 minutes of just sloppiness from the U.S. The intensity really left the game, I think, from both sides. I think El Salvador had kind of given up hope of actually scoring. The U.S. was just really comfortable to kick it around in the middle in defensive third. Weren't a lot of chances being taken, just not a lot happening for a long period of time for the U.S. Eventually, in the 84th minute, Dest gets the ball at the top of the box in the right channel and begins looking for a shot. He eventually slides it across to Robinson, whose curling effort is hit right at the keeper. Robinson was feeling himself, wasn't he? Robinson went for it in this game. He had another opportunity to kind of curl one past the keeper, but his right-footed shot just it curled a little bit too much in centrally, and it wasn't too hard for the keeper. But another moment where Robinson is after it. Robinson has got the bit in his teeth, and he's getting after it in this game. Hopefully, you know, we're going to need I don't have to tell you guys, we didn't bring any other left backs outside of Anthony Robinson. So best case scenario is Anthony Robinson puts in a 90-minute shift like he did tonight for the next two games in World Cup qualifying. Really liked what I saw from Anthony Robinson tonight. In the 84th minute, El Salvador finds some space on the left flank. Across into the box is met with a glancing header that flies wide. One of the few opportunities that El Salvador got in the second half, and it really wasn't that threatening, honestly. It goes well wide of Turner's goal. In the 86th minute, McKinney wins a free kick deep in the Salvadorian half. Aronson makes a very good delivery that finds Zardes, whose header is soft and above the bar. Another moment where the U.S. has a set piece and puts it in a really nice spot, and Zardes gets on the end of it, and it just doesn't, not in the back of the net, man, not in the back of the net. Really disappointing because that could have been 2-0 right there for us. Ends up being nothing at all. In the 88th minute, Acosta comes on for Musa. In the 89th, we get that last-ditch effort for the U.S. In the 89th, a ball over the top finds Aronson. Aaronson runs across the face of the box and eventually plays it to Morris, who is in the left channel on the top of the box. Morris has a nice little chip over the top to McKinney, and McKinney redirects it to Zardes, who's just unable to control it and find it for the shot. Another moment where, man, that was a half chance, and we're just not converting any half chances right now. Really frustrating. Really nice little cheeky pass from Jordan Morris. Cool to see that he has that in his locker. McKinney, of course, goes to that back post and wins a header, because McKinney wins absolutely every header, but we're not able to make anything of it. The only worrying thing there was, you know, towards the end of the game, McKinney did kind of come down with a limp, and Dess actually had a limp towards the end of the game. Hopefully it's just, you know, little niggling things, and it's not going to be anything that concerns the U.S. down the road. But that's how it ended. I wrote down a comprehensive victory from the U.S., yet we come away feeling a bit unsatisfied. The U.S. created many more chances, and El Salvador failed to threaten, but we're still missing a dominant Christian Pulisic finding joy, and where in the world is Ricardo Pepi? That's a question that I have moving forward, because I don't know. I thought Greg's answer for why Ferreira was in the game was a bit unsatisfying. And as I said before, Greg is not going to be honest with us whenever it comes to these players and what's going on with them behind the scenes. So disappointed not to see Ricardo Pepi, really confused. Hopefully he's all right and he's going to be able to go against Canada. Hopefully this was just us resting Ricardo Pepi for those last two games. But who knows? So that was kind of my take on the game, and I'm kind of going to open it up to the comment section, guys. I've been speaking for 40 minutes, so I'm curious what you guys think. I feel like I see a lot of frustration in the comment section, which I'm kind of anticipating here. Let's see what Jake has to say. Jake says, yeah, with GGG, all I can say is I think, I don't know, WTF, our tactics are half the time, but I know if the fullback is charging, someone is supposed to slide. Yeah, man. I think the tactics are pretty well defined at this point. I think it's attack through the channels. I think in this game it was Ferreira coming back, creating overlaps for Weah, using build up play to find it in space in the channels and attack there. And we saw the U.S. do that time and time and time again. Not only do we see them do that tonight, but we saw them do that against Mexico, and we saw that against Costa Rica. That is definitely what the U.S. is trying to do tactically. The issue was Pulisic and Ferreira kind of coming into the same space, and it just didn't happen for us. Paul Nicholas is right to call me out for saying niggling injuries. I mean, yeah, that's a really weird word. I don't know if that's even a word. Yeah, good job calling me out for that. That's a ridiculous thing to say, and I need to say more adult words than that. Let's see. Juan Carlos says, you guys do realize when El Salvador made a few chances, it was created to the left side because Dess was out of position. I don't know. Let's see. The Alex Roldan chance, that was on the right flank. That was not on Dest's side. I mean, he beat Dest, but it's hard to really say that was absolutely on Dest. I'm trying to think of what other opportunities they had. There was another one where towards the end of the game, they had a cross from the right flank that had a glancing header. Outside of that, I mean, they had a free kick. I don't know what chances you're talking about that Sergiño Dest gave up because of poor positioning. Let's see what Jake has to say here. Sam, we are discussing if Dest is the one out of position on D sometimes, or if the eight aren't covering. Thoughts? Yeah, I didn't notice a whole lot of Dest being out of position, and I think I think Sergiño Dest is such an asset in the attack. He is such an asset that you want him to attack, and I think throughout the game we saw that whenever the U.S. was in attack, Dest got forward, McKinney got forward, and Musa and Adams tended to drop back. We didn't see Musa involved in the attack much at all, and I think that was part of it. Whenever Dest did get upfield, we did see Adams get back. But the reality is, if you have an attacker that is as dynamic as as Sergiño Dest, that you're going to be exposed. There's no two ways about it. It's impossible to cover everything all the time. And ideally, you're creating overloads anyway. And overloads inherently mean that there's more of your players and their players in one spot. So if there's more of your players and their players in one spot, inversely, that's got to mean that somewhere on the field, there's more of their players than your players. So whenever you got an overload, you got to try to keep the ball and not let them get it and put it where they have an overload. So I think that's just something that you got to live with Serginho Dest. And I think I don't recall it being an issue tonight. There was times whenever Adams made great defensive plays. I thought that the Zimmerman was fantastic all night. I don't remember too many moments where Serginho Dest put us in bad positions. So I don't see that. Jeremy Jones asks, it's kind of a million-dollar question, and it should Berhalter take out Christian Pulisic? And honestly, I say no. I say Pulisic has so much upside. He has so much quality. He's a player that can win us games by himself. He's a player that can score hat tricks by himself. That you got to invest in him. You got to work through this funk. Look, you can do like we did tonight, where at 60 minutes you bring in a Brendan Aaronson. You saw the spark that Aaronson provided. But I think Pulisic just needs minutes. He needs time in the system. He needs to figure it out, because if Pulisic just does what Tim Way is doing, which is stay further up the field and running behind, the players will be able to find him. We have the quality in the midfield that we don't need him to drop back. We don't need Christian Pulisic to be at the middle line with the ball. That's not where we want him. We want him much further up the field where he can run at defenders. We don't see him do that for Chelsea, and I don't know why we're seeing him do that for the U.S. Maybe it is a thing that Berhalter's asking him to do, but I just don't think so, considering we don't see any other players on the field doing it. It's very frustrating. I think it's something that we just got to work through. Let's see. Kevin Tewari says, Pulisic drops too deep to receive the ball, and he ends up losing it at a dangerous position. Yeah, he's dropping too deep, and there's other times where he's just, you know, the rest of the team is playing so quick. It's quick. To steal a phrase from Greg Berhalter, it is verticality, man. Whenever we find that open spot, whenever it's either McKinney finding the switch or Dest getting that outlet on the outside, it is right down the field, and we're away. And it's so often whenever Pulisic gets the ball, it's slow down, it's stop, it's cut back across, it's survey the option. And he's just out of sync with the rest of the team. It's frustrating. I put it up to just kind of rust with the squad and feeling like, yeah, he has to do too much whenever he really doesn't, man. Med the Rockstar says, play Dest as a backup 8 midfielder, but against a good team. He is a defensive liability. I think the game against Switzerland, the U.S. men's national team lost that game because of Dest. Well, Med, we got to be fair here, man. That game against Switzerland was a long time ago. It's hard for me to hold him responsible for a game that happened. Boy, was that like a year ago? I feel like that was in March of last year, man. I mean, honestly, you can give more recent examples, like that El Salvadorian game, the first El Salvador game away, where Serginho Dest played on the left flank, and he got taken to task by players who play at levels lower than MLS. Like, that was really bad from Serginho Dest. But in this game, I don't see where the criticism is coming from, man. I don't see why you would put him as a midfielder. I think he is one of the best young right backs in the world. He was purchased by Barcelona for a large sum of money. He is valued very highly by transfer market. Apparently Chelsea's after him. Apparently Bayern's after him. Yeah, I heard recently Dortmund was after him. All these blue-collar, blue-chip, blue-chip, top of the world, best in the world clubs are after this kid. He can play. He can play the position. He's a young player. He's got to learn the defensive side of the game. He's got to get better in that. I think he is getting better in that. I think he's a better defender now than he was whenever he was at Ajax, but it's going to be a slow process. Let's see. We'll get a few more comments in. I'm trying to scroll up to kind of see if I miss anybody, because I'm just about to jump out. Let's see. Connor McCabe says, I don't get U.S. men's national team fans. Even when things go right, they always have something to complain about online, Sam. I don't know if that's necessarily U.S. men's national team fans, man. I think that's fans in general. I think we're all very passionate about this team. We're all fanatics about this team. And whenever you cross the line from being a fan to just being like an observer, what happens is you're no longer rational. You're no longer reasonable. You're you're very emotional and you're emotionally invested, and I definitely put myself included on that list. I mean, you should. If I was a observer watching at home, I wouldn't be frustrated at all by this game. I mean, the U.S. dominated. They created the bulk of the chances. They looked far the better team. They were never in a position where El Salvador was going to score. Nothing to worry about. But as a fan, as someone who cares deeply about the squad, I am very frustrated because I understand what it could be and what's missing right now. And that's what's frustrating. So I do think fans have a right to complain and kind of say whatever they want. But I do understand that the discourse can get a little nasty sometimes, and that's frustrating. Because we all are on the same team. We all want the same things, but that's sort of the way that it goes. Well, I'll get a few more comments in before I head out. Jake says, how about Walker and Turner making some attempts to break the line of play with passing? That's a positive step. Yeah. You know, sometimes you read the comment section and it looks like Matt Turner has no idea what he's doing with the ball at his feet and is just completely inept. But that's not the case at all. We saw a really nice outlet pass from Matt Turner to, I believe, Sergiño Dest. That sprung attack from the U.S. The U.S. didn't use Matt Turner very much. They didn't go back to him hardly at all in this game. And they played very simple and very safe in the buildup. But Walker Zimmerman, I went over it early in the first half, had a really nice pass over the top to Tim Weah that could have sprung an attack, but it kind of fizzled out. But it was really nice from Walker Zimmerman. Yeah, you know, at the top level, whenever you get into the to the Edersons and the Allisons and these types of keepers, like, of course, Matt Turner is not going to be able to distribute at that level. But really, nobody on the U.S. is either. I mean, our best distributing center back is John Brooks, and he's not even in the squad. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit – and it's a moot point anyway because with Stefan out, Turner's probably going to retain the starting position unless we find out that Stefan is healthy again. But good to have Matt Turner there just in case. He's a fantastic keeper. It looks like he's about to make a ton of money. So kudos to him. Congratulations. A wonderful story. If you ever have time, go check out that Wikipedia section for Matt Turner. It's really impressive how far he's come. Let's see. Why is Robinson the only striker on the team? Where is Pepe or Hoppy? Are you saying, like, because Robinson scored the goal that he was the striker? I don't know. Matthew Hoppy has been kind of out of contention. He's just returning from an injury, and it was really unlikely to be part of this national team. Pepe is a confusing one. I kind of went over this a few times, but I found that Greg's answer for why Ferreira was starting was a bit unsatisfying. I thought the things that he said Ferreira brought to the table that Pepe could definitely bring to the table with just a lot more finishing ability. The fact that Pepe wasn't brought in the second half is confusing. I hope everything's all right. I don't know what's going on, but I am concerned about that moving forward. Let's see. Adam says, yo, the stadium was hyped tonight. I feel lucky to have seen two qualifiers in my hometown. Can we go for 9 points in one cycle? Guys, yeah, and you know, we've been talking about the frustrating aspects of this game for 50 minutes, but the reality is everything's still on the table. We still got 9 points on the table. We can still get it. We can still make it happen. And 9 points in this window is very likely going to mean that we just need one or three more points to secure World Cup qualification. It puts everything in front of us. We'll definitely be in the driver's seat if we get 9 points in this window. And it's still an option for us, man. It's still out there. It's going to be a very, very difficult game against Canada. But all of our goals are still ahead of us. Let's see. Paul Thompson says, John Brooks is our best distribution center back because he has the experience. Our team is young. I don't know if that's true, man. Yeah, he has the experience, but he also has a hell of a left foot on him. And he's been a classy distributing center back since as far back as I can remember. Even whenever he was one of the younger center backs on the team, he's just got that ability on the ball. Maybe Chris Richards grows into that, but that's yet to be seen right now. I haven't seen any center backs be able to switch play the long diagonal switch with the frequency that John Brooks does and the confidence that John Brooks does. I mean, did we see any balls from center backs into the feet of Jesus Ferreira or even like to the chest of Jesus Ferreira in this game? That just wasn't even an option for us. Let's see. Patrick Wagner says, McKinney looks so good with the handles tonight. Yes, he did. Probably my man of the match. Maybe Anthony Robinson gets the man of the match because of the big shots on goal, and he had a good defensive performance, and he had the goal. But I think McKinney was the best player on the field for the U.S. Let's see. Pepe is 18. He is very inexperienced. He is overhyped. Look, even if you believe that to be true, which, you know, you can definitely make an argument for that. He's definitely inexperienced. He is, you know, you could argue that he's overhyped. Compared to Jesus Ferreira, who played in this game, Ricardo Pepi had a lot more World Cup qualifying experience. And even head-to-head, I mean, whenever they play for FC Dallas, Ricardo Pepi is a striker on that squad. Jesus Ferreira plays in the hole. I mean, I understand the argument that you're trying to make, but I don't think that we have other strikers who are in this squad right now who can really make that conversation work. You know, maybe if we had Josh Sargent in the squad or Jordan Pefok or something like that, but we don't. We got Pepe, we got Ferreira, and we got Zardes. And I think of those guys, I don't know if you can make that argument. Anyway, guys, I think we're about ready to wrap it up right there. Thank you so much for hanging out after the game. I hope you had a decent day. I know that I was just like tied up in knots with so much anxiety all through the day. I managed to get my El Salvadorian pupusa, so I kept that tradition alive. I actually have two pupusa waiting for me in the fridge. I got two to eat then and two to eat later, so I'm really excited about that. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. If you like the channel, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button. If you want to really support the channel, you can become a member. I've been posting behind-the-scenes videos that are members only. Not behind-the-scenes videos, but just, like, extra content that's members only that I think is topics that are not great for a full-length video, but I think are interesting topics nonetheless. I've been posting that in the member section, so that's pretty cool. As always, si puede hablar español, dígame un comentario en español. How come none of the comment section was in Spanish? You guys, what's up with that? I would love to see some Spanish comments so you guys can see me real-time translating and struggling during a live stream. Thank you guys once again so much for hanging out. This has been a blast. We got a few more days before we gotta start it up and do it all over again. Guys, what do you think I should eat for the Canadian game? Like, I always eat something from the nation that we're playing, and I don't like the poutine. I don't like poutine at all. I know that Canada is known for, like, poutine, whiskey, steaks. You know, maybe I drink some Canadian whiskey. You know, maybe I get a Montreal steak or something like that. That would be a better option for me. Anyway, let me know in the comment section what you think. If you were in the live section, pancakes. I like that. Pancakes and maple syrup. That's a solid answer, Paul Thompson. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for commenting. Thank you for just being a part of this whole Yank Report thing. We've been doing some really cool things lately. We got some big names on the channel, and I got a few more that are coming soon. So thank you guys for hanging out. My name is Sam, and this has been a live stream version of the Yank Report.